Today, I would like to give a talk about a favorite topic of Buddhism, which is impermanence. And I will talk about this topic again within the confines of the Patana. That is, impermanence is one way I would translate the Patana condition of Vigata Paccaya. So, and with all the previous Patana conditions, I will try to relate this condition to the four ultimates of Abhidhamma philosophy, which are matter, mind, consciousness, and nibbana. But to begin with, we might ask ourselves, why is this such an important topic in Buddhism? The reason is that no matter what your situation might be, no matter what you do, no matter what you know, if you don't know how to let go at the right time, you will suffer. And hence, this might be the simplest reason to let go, this fact that all things are impermanent and sooner or later are bound to fall apart and die or disappear by their very nature. But let us examine this condition systematically in accordance with the four paramatta. In the realm of matter, we all have experiences of having lost things. Whether it was a favorite toy that broke when we were a child, or later in life when we lost many things, some of which we might have held very dear. All these were instances of this condition in the realm of matter. Then sometimes we enjoy the weather, the pleasant nature of the sun in early summer, for instance, but often all too soon that is supplanted either by excessive heat or by rainy weather. Even on a larger scale, the whole earth will perish one day. If not by anything else, the sun will take it with it in its own process of destruction. A similar thing we can observe within our body. All the time there is destruction going on. Whether we feel the physical nutriment in our body diminish, or how a pleasant sensation quickly is giving way again to something less pleasant, these are all instances of impermanence and destruction. Then many of us may have lost a friend, or a mother, or a father, or a child, or some person dear and near to us. And this too proves the ever-present nature of this condition. Further, there will have been times where we might have at least gained a glimpse of the impermanent nature of our minds. Of course, when we simply reflect in a theoretical manner, it's easy to see that the states of the mind are impermanent. But a direct glimpse is something different. When we feel happy or sad, usually we pay attention to the things that we believe make us happy or unhappy. But occasionally we might become aware of a mental state itself. And there we might notice that although we many times keep track of how the things in front of our eyes change, we often act and think with the conviction as if our mind would remain more reliably the same. But actually, many times it doesn't. When we face the same person, thing, or situation, we ourselves are often the thing that is different. We may feel different, have entirely different emotions, thoughts, or even intents. So our mind is evidently also subject to this condition. But not only mind states. We are all familiar with the impermanent nature of our memories. How easy it is to forget and how difficult it is to remember. This too is an obvious example of this condition of impermanence. Even our very character, the core of consciousness, we might say, changes with time. Tragedy or trauma may transform us from a peaceful, gentle, loving person into a vengeful, aggressive monster that tries everything it can to make other people miserable. Equally so with karma we do ourselves. Repeated good deeds and learning may allow our old, lazy, depressed, or aggressive self to die, replacing it with a more decent human character, which, however, equally one day will have to give way to someone else. And this shift in our very essence can take on still more dramatic changes after we have died. There we may lose even the last bit of what made us a human being during our lives, for good or for bad. Now that is, we can become an animal when we have set the course in that direction in our human life, or a tormented spirit in hell, or on the other hand side, we may become a divine being that continuously grows in nobleness and character. All show that what we now take to be ourself is impermanent and will change with time. Now, thinking about these facts, we might get a glimpse why the Buddha stated that thinking about this condition frequently is one way of attaining nirvana, the deathless. Because if we do so, we won't be too surprised when something dear suddenly perishes, or give up when our suffering seemingly goes on without stopping. So when we reflect on Vigatapaccaya, the condition of impermanence, we are not meant to become discouraged. Instead, we learn to carry life more lightly, knowing that all things must pass, we can let go more gracefully. And when we understand that everything is going to pass, we may turn our hearts towards finding what does not pass away. And in this way, impermanence becomes not only a truth to be observed, but a doorway that leads us to the deathless. So, and I dearly wish that all who are listening to this talk, that hopefully it has deepened your understanding of impermanence. And perhaps that this understanding inspires you to seek something beyond impermanence, to seek something that will not die, something that is unconditioned and eternal.